Time for our weekly chat with Flo Tess. She is your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. You can see what she's up to for KEZI Sports on the Tube, channel 709. Catch up online, KEZI.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle Kristen E. Rogers. KR, how are things with you?
Steve, I'm trying to mentally prepare for tonight. I think I'm going to be washed away at high school football games. Like, there's a very high chance this is going to happen.
Many years ago, I did a game at Marist, and they put us on top of the press box. And I noticed off in the distance there was lightning. And I say into the microphone, I see lightning again. I'm out of here. Lightning off. I took everything and left. So, you know, it's one of those things, save yourself. Don't, you know, there's a dedicated professional, then there's an insane person. You need to be the latter, not the former.
Yeah, well, Steve, I actually have a little bit of, I guess, breaking news for you on your show.
Okay, go ahead.
Unfortunately, we had to cancel our game of the week. We were going to be at Crestwell for Crestwell Pleasant Hill. We were going to have a live broadcast of that game, but unfortunately, because there is isolated thunderstorms and more specifically lightning, we're going to have to cancel our live broadcast from out there. But we will still have highlights of the game later tonight, as long as the game is not canceled. And again, we do not get washed away.
Right. And by the way, I think in the next several hours, we're all going to become Weather Channel people. So who are we kidding? Let's do a little Bay Area sports segment. Go to Tuesday. Giants up 5-2 entering the ninth. It had appeared those bullpen miseries somewhat disappeared. And then the implosion, each guy they brought in either gave up a run or a hit. So are you able to big picture it? Three recent titles back in the playoffs, or is it the classic case of, Steve, that's too soon. I'm miserable.
I'm miserable, Steve. It's too soon. No, in all reality, I mean, it's always tough, especially the fact that it came down to the bullpen. Like, if it had been like any other, you know, scenario, I think I would have been okay. But ninth inning, and the bullpen just implodes on itself. I mean, we all knew this was going to happen. Like, we all knew that was going to be our downfall, and it's just been haunting us all season. So actually, I was talking with my dad about this earlier today because, you know, he's obviously in San Francisco right now and seeing all the articles and the headlines and whatnot. And I think there's going to be a clean sweep. I think we're going to see a lot of new faces in San Francisco next year and a lot of new pieces. Because this was just, I mean, I get that I sound very spoiled, upset that we're not moving on. But at the same time, it's, you know, in San Francisco, you have to have good pitching staff. And unfortunately, we fell short there this year. And I think that's the best way I can put it without getting too emotional on your show.
All right. Yeah, I sensed the little cracking in the voice there, but take a deep breath. Let's move to DeBartolo Way in Santa Clara. Your Niners on the brink of the season getting away. Now Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback, instead of trying to alter our social conscience. You feel like this can get them pointed in the right direction, maybe see what Chip Kelly's offense can do, or are they rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic?
Right. No, I think anytime you have a big move, like a quarterback change, it's going to try to spark something. I mean, heck, that's why Oregon says they, you know, moved Justin Herbert in there, is because they wanted to have a spark on offense. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Niner fans still remember what happened with Kaepernick. So I think you're a little wary of him stepping out onto the field. But I mean, I watched last weekend's game, and you could audibly hear the "we want Cap" chant, and I get it. Like, Blaine Gabbert kind of fell on his face. So for San Francisco to want him back, like a fan base, I think that says a lot about the direction this program is headed in. The only thing I'm excited about is when Chip Kelly first came on, you know, people were joking about how much Chip was going to be excited to work with a guy who has those raw skills like Cap. So I think if Cap can be the guy we saw in, what, like 2012, I think that'll be good, and I think he and Chip can work well together. I think, you know, this game against the Bills isn't going to be anything spectacular, but I think it might be moving in the right direction.
All right, let's get to Oregon football. The report you posted on Twitter, which was awesome, by the way, informative and included reaction from former players, and we heard from a lot of guys. Would I be accurate in saying the common theme is spoiled or entitled from the older players to the current crop?
Oh, man, I mean, I think that's just the number one thing that you got on Twitter. I mean, from, you know, Braylon Addison tweeting out that crying Jordan meme, I saw that, and I was like, oh, I mean, LaMichael James tweeting out like really 70 points at Austin. So first of all, former players are just kind of upset with, you know, obviously with a Washington loss, because 12 years, you build up that streak, and it's hard to see, you know, another, you know, team right after you kind of build, you know, break it down. But I think that the spoiled mindset is good. Tyler Johnstone was actually at the game, and I think it was his first game back since graduating last year. And he, you know, he had this like hashtag real fans thing going on. And
yep.
He like tweeted like 100 different guys who were still at the game in the fourth quarter, because he was calling out the student section because there was no one there. Like literally there was no one left at the game. So he got mad at the student section for being spoiled. And I think Jeff Schwartz, you know, former offensive lineman, he went on a rant, and I think he put it really, really well, that years of winning have created that kind of stale sense in the program. And, you know, just by nature, people are going to get, you know, you're going to think you can just come to Oregon and you're going to be okay. And I know LaMichael James talked with Aaron Fentress about this earlier this week, and
yep.
he said something along the lines of, you know, you can't just try to be cute. You know, you actually have to want to win games. And I think it's a combination of Oregon just being a young team in general, and the fact that they don't have any veteran vocal leaders. I mean, yes, they have veteran leaders. You have Johnny Reagan, you have Tyrell Crosby, even though both of them are out. You have Royce Freeman, even though he was out for a little bit. But none of those guys are extremely vocal. And I get that they work well with their position groups, but I don't think that they have that one vocal leader to lead them. Like, I think, if anything, this just shows how special Vernon Adams was last year, because he was able to come into the program, do great things on the field, and also off the field have the complete respect and attention of the team. And I think missing that kind of X factor has caused this, I guess, you know, the spoiled nature to just be even more exemplified this season.
Yeah, I think he was a rallying point. That's an excellent point. As we continue with Kristen Rogers of KEZI Sports, I think by now most of us heard Rob Mullins on with Joey Mack, you know, first on Duck Insider, and then we did the replay right here. And first, he squelched any knee-jerk talk. Like, let's be real, there wasn't going to be a move made now. It's crazy.
No.
But would it be safe to say he kind of maybe put notice out that the second half of the season is critical and nothing is etched in stone for next year?
No, I would completely agree that there has to be evaluation. And, I mean, if you look at where he is, he's, what, in his second year of a five-year contract extension. So, you know, I think money-wise, that's always something to take into consideration, even because fans can call for a coach's head as much as they want. But at the end of the day, it is still hiring someone or firing someone, and there's going to be a financial background to all of that. I think that, you know, talking with Helfrich yesterday, he says that he talked with, it looks like, sounds like he's only talked with Mullins once, and it was immediately after the game on Saturday. And he says he does feel like he has the administration support, but then he was very quick to say, but we need to support the players more. So I think there is probably a little bit of something going there, and I think, you know, Mark Helfrich might not be on the hot seat per se. His state might be like warming up. I think he's starting to feel just, you know, a little bit more urgency to turn this around. And I think what was interesting was, because, you know, everyone talks about a bowl game, and it looks like it, I think they only have like a 19% chance of making a bowl based upon like ESPN projections right now. And talking with Health yesterday, he said, look, the only thing that we want to accomplish is to improve this season. And that's very vague. So whatever that means, I think it just has to meet Rob Mullen's standard. And, you know, maybe that's a bowl game, which is highly unlikely. I'm sorry, Duck fans. Or maybe that's just being able to develop a guy like Justin Herbert and develop these younger guys so that they can set up well for next season. So whatever you want to define improve upon as, I think if that matches up with what Rob Mullins does, then I think we're obviously going to see health here for a while.
All right. With all of that, and you mentioned the former players on social media, the athletic director, one of the worst performances ever. And would I be accurate in saying that most of the venting from the football players are against the current football players, maybe their effort, some, like you said, for the student section, and a lot of those guys kind of have Helfs back?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely saw that a lot of the former players think that it's this year's current players. It's not the coaches by any means. And I think it was Mike that tweeted this out. It was a former player. You know what? It was not Kenyon Barner. Keenan Lowe. There we go.
Yep.
Who basically said, yeah, if we see Rob Mullins remove Mark Helfrich, you know, the players are going to be very upset. And I think that makes sense. You know, I think Mark Helfrich is a good football. I think he's a great football coach. I mean, you know, you're so quick to forget what he was able to do just 2 years ago and, you know, the fact he developed Marcus. Like, he is a good football coach. And I think fans obviously want to go to the head of the problem, which in their minds is Mark Helfrich. I think a coach can only do so much in terms of rallying a team. It really does come down to have vocal leaders on your team. And I feel like Oregon just doesn't have that this year. And maybe it just wasn't explained to some of these young guys that you can't just show up and throw on an Oregon uniform and expect to win. You have to work hard. And I think that's kind of the sense that some of the older players have right now, especially pushing into the program, is that these guys just need to work. And unfortunately, they haven't. And I think the biggest place you see that is the tempo. The tempo of the offense has been very, very, very slow this year. And, you know, I think that just kind of comes to a lackadaisical attitude that this team has taken on.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like the Oregon offense. But I've got one last item. There's another team in the Valley that's playing this week if they don't get washed away. OSU won their first Pac-12 game since Mike Riley was coach in November of 2014. First conference win for Gary Anderson. You guys at KZI obviously covered them very well. They did almost blow the game with a 17-point lead in the last half of the fourth quarter. What did Coach Anderson have to say maybe about finally getting over the hump and providing a spark to move forward?
Yeah, Steve, you know what's funny? I was still the head, like, Oregon State beat reporter back when Oregon State had their last conference win, which is crazy to think about. Yep, that was fun. I remember their last conference win. No, but I think that, you know, Coach A is happy. And, he made a joke about how he wants the team to be able to celebrate. And, you know, he says their dinners are going to taste better this week and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, they have to know that it's just one win. And you have to turn that one win and make it into two, and then make it into three, and then kind of move your way up the ladder, you know. And I think Gary Anderson is a phenomenal football coach. He's the type of football coach that any program wants. He is hard-nosed. He is really well-connected with his guys. His players love him. His players play for him, which I think is just huge in general. And I think you're really finally starting to see the Oregon State program develop into what it wants to be after Anderson took over the program. And I get, you know, obviously it's going to take some time for a program to develop under a new head coach. And I think now we're finally starting to see that fruition up until this point. But, I mean, these guys are hungry. They're excited. They have that taste of winning in their mouth, and they want to keep facing it.
Well, we're big Coach Anderson fans. He's been on this show. I think he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually rooting for him. So, no Duck football. You got your game washed out. Obviously, we're dealing with the remnants of a typhoon. What's on tap for you and your KEZI sports team tonight and the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, well, this is going to be fun. Because it's a bye week, I get to host game day and game night on KEZI, Steve. So I'm going to be on the desk all day tomorrow having lots of fun with our Oregon and Oregon State analysts. So please turn on the channel at 4 o'clock after the first ABC game, before the 5 o'clock ABC game. And then I'll be back on about 8:30. And, of course, 11 o'clock, we'll be talking all things Ducks, Beavers, asking the, you know, hard-hitting questions, how we think the rest of the season is going to go for the Ducks, and a lot about Oregon State. It's going to be a lot of fun. We do a lot of really fun features on the show, so it's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm literally just going to be talking football tomorrow, so tune in for that. We obviously have our high school show tonight if we don't have too many games canceled. I will say, if any of the listeners out there hear of a game that's canceled, if you want to tweet us or call us at KZI or tweet us at KZI9Sports, or just tweet at me, let me know, because we're starting to compile a list of games that are already getting washed out.
All right. At Kristen E. Rogers, like the Packer quarterback on Twitter, KZI.com, channel 709 on my Xfinity. KR, always a pleasure. Stay dry, stay safe, and we'll catch up next week.
You too. See you later, Steve.
Bye.